Kathy's glasses in. I left mine at home, and I had to borrow some this morning from Kathy Matheson, so. Thank goodness it's just magnifying glasses. Anyway, if you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and pass it down, and we can get a record of your attendance this morning. And there are a couple things I want to bring special attention to. The Samaritan Purse Shoebox Ministry, there was 29 boxes filled out and sent from this church. So thank you all for your participation in that. Okay, and also to just a reminder, today is election of officers. And after the service today, we'll have a congregation meeting to do that. And there's ballots to be passed around, and a record of your attendance be taken at that point. And also, got a special birthday coming up this week. Pat Tindall's going to have a birthday coming up next shortly, and so wish her a early happy birthday when you see her today. Any other announcements?
Yes.
Okay.
Also, the choir is practicing this Saturday, the 11th, right?
Yeah, 10:30. Right.
Any other announcements? Okay. If not, turn to take your bulletin. Let's do the unison reading is printed there together, and it reads.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Debbie, thanks. Beautiful. Yes, sure. Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. It is Emmanuel, and we'll sing it twice, please.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just praising you and lifting your name up and asking that your presence be here with us. We ask, Lord, just to be with those who couldn't be here for whatever reason and just let them know that they're missed and that put your arms of comfort around them, Lord, and give them guidance. We ask also that you be with this congregation as we have a meeting after church today to elect officers and just pray that your will be done, Lord, and we ask now that you guide us, direct us, forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated.
We are in the season of Advent, and the Advent wreath signals the arrival of Advent, and the circle of four candles represents our hope in the light of the world when the power of darkness cannot overcome. The stable candle is the second candle in the Advent wreath, and it symbolizes the humility of Christ in leaving the glory of heaven to be born in a lowly stable. Lighting the candle this morning are Danny and Lisa Colvin.
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let us pray. Dear God, help us to have room in our hearts and in our homes for others who need us. We thank you for friends and strangers who have received us when we were lonely or afraid. may we be ready to receive the love God offers us in Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Now please turn in your hymnal to number 143. While you're turning there, I have a question. It's the second Sunday in Advent, but my chocolate Advent calendar only has 2 days left. I don't know. Very confusing. Please stand and let's sing this together. Number 143, all hail the power of Jesus' name.
And if you would, take your bulletin and let's turn to the inside cover and do question number 86 and 87 of the shorter catechism this morning. I'll read the question, you do the answer that's printed in bold. Question 86, what is found in Jesus Christ? What is repentance unto life?
Repentance unto life is the saving grace whereby a sinner, out of the true sense of his sins and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sins turn from him unto God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience.
And as we come to a time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it reads, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings to here in your storehouse, and we ask that you bless each gift, Lord, and each giver. Help us as a church to use these funds wisely to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Once again, we thank Kathy and Debbie for their beautiful duets this morning. So much talent here in our church. We're grateful, very thankful. Also, I know that especially at this time of the year, there are so many things that happen that may go unnoticed unless we call attention to them. And if you see the beautiful decorations all around our church, this was the result of much labor during this past week, especially on Friday. And so we want to thank all of those that spent time and energy to make our church beautiful for the Christmas holidays. We thank you, very grateful to you for all that you've done. Also, we want to remember to pray today, that today is a day when we elect officers, and this is a very special time in the life of our church. So we commit this also to the Lord. So let's bow as we come to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we bow before you in this hour, in this moment, acknowledging the fact that you are our God and you are our King, that you are sovereign over this universe. And Lord, we praise you and thank you that in your mercy and in your grace, you saw our need, a need that we could never meet. And Lord, you took it on yourself to come and pay the price that we might have eternal life. And we're so grateful and thankful. Father, through all the days of this season, as we remember the birth of our Savior, we pray that our hearts would be moved in gratitude to praise you and to thank you for all that you've done for us. Our Father, we ask and pray this morning that by your mercy, that you would heal our nation, that we recognize that we're a nation divided. And Lord, that only you can bring our nation back together again as one. And Lord, we long for the day when once again we can say with pure hearts that this is one nation under God. And Lord, we ask that that day would come, that we could be one people again. And Father, we pray and ask to that end that Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church might be a light in darkness, that we would stand firm on the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we would proclaim you as our Lord and as our Savior. And Father, through these days when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, that we would surrender and submit to you and to your kingdom. Lord, we ask and pray for your hand to rest on those who are members of our church, our loved ones, those who are in need of prayer. Lord, for those who are suffering physically, we pray that your mighty hand might rest on those as our healer, and that you would bring us back to wholeness and health as a people. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering from anxiety or from fear. And Lord, we know that there are many today that would seek to place us under a load of fear during this holiday season. We pray that we could shed that fear and instead rejoice in a God who protects Israel, who neither slumbers nor sleeps. And Lord, we pray and ask that you would build us up and strengthen us. And Lord, for those who are struggling this day with depression, or with worry, with anxiety, we pray that you'd set them free. Father, we pray and ask for these days ahead, that as we are caught up in the fervor of the Christmas season, that we wouldn't lose sight of a Heavenly Father who loves us and who cares for us, who died that we might have life. And we praise you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 216, 216. Please stand and we'll sing this together. Number 216, Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Thank you.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning, and that's found in Isaiah chapter 9 and reading verses 2 to 7. Passage very familiar, I'm sure. Isaiah chapter 9, reading verses 2 to 7. And hear now the word of God. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And may God add to understanding this portion of his holy word. You know, that song that we sang first this morning, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. What an exciting concept to think that we are praising not only the name of Jesus, but Jesus himself. You know, whenever we use that term in somebody's name, it doesn't just mean the letters that form what we say, but it means everything that stands behind it. For instance, when you're stopped by a police officer or whatever, it's in the name of the law that he stops you. It's not because of that badge or because he's a police officer. It's everything that stands behind it. And it's the same when we speak about the name of Jesus, that holy name, that's very, very important and powerful in God's kingdom. You know, some of us may remember as we studied Shakespeare in our high school years, maybe some of you are still studying it, I hope so, but you know, you remember in Romeo and Juliet, that story of the battle between those two families, the Montagues and the Capulets. And in that, Juliet says, what is in a name? What's a name? She said, that which we call a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. But you know, the truth of the matter is, names are very important. In fact, if you've been with your children, when you named your children, or maybe now with your grandchildren, if you have input into those decisions, you might be talking about, well, what is a good name? Because you don't want to pick the wrong name. You know, for instance, if you happen to name your son Ichabod, well, that would be a problem because Ichabod means literally the glory has departed. And not a good name for your son. Actually, names are very important. In fact, I happened to look this up. These are the names that the Internal Revenue Service has determined were the most popular names in 2021. Now, we still have a couple weeks left, but I'm sure it's going to stay pretty much the same. And these are the most popular names for a male child. And these are the names. This is 2021. Liam, number one. Noah, Oliver, Elijah, William, James, Benjamin, Lucas, Henry, and Alexander. Those are the most popular names in America right now for male children. I was amazed. And here's the most popular name for female children. Olivia, Emma, Ava, Charlotte, Sophia, Amelia, Isabella, Mia, Evelyn, and Harper. Does that surprise you? I mean, this is nationwide here in America. And I was just astounded. And I, you know, stop and think, well, where do these names come from? I mean, these are not, you know, Bill and Joe and, you know, not those kinds of names. These are very different names. And I really think that in many cases, people have been influenced by maybe movies that they've seen, especially Disney movies, you know, where they have names for the all the characters and whatever. Or I remember when Shrek was real popular, that people were naming their, they didn't name them Shrek, but they did name them after characters in the Shrek movie. And so they choose these names, and the names are very important. And I don't know if we can really identify with just how important these names are when parents are choosing their names. You know, the Heavenly Father chose the name for the Messiah. It wasn't Mary and Joseph. It was our Heavenly Father chose the name. In Luke chapter 1, verses 30 and 31, it says this, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.'" No, it wasn't an option at that point. Oh, we wanted to name him after Joseph's father. No, his name is Jesus. It's just like the angel that spoke to Zechariah when Zechariah was worshiping God, and all of a sudden God's presence came upon him and said, "His name will be John." And when it came time to name the child 9 months later, Zechariah wrote down on a tablet when they were discussing what the child's name was going to be, and he wrote it down and it said, "His name is John." Chosen by God, not by men. "You shall call his name Jesus." Well, Jesus in Greek is Jesus, and it's a transliteration from Greek, from Hebrew to Greek, of the word Joshua, Yeshua, Joshua. And it means Jehovah saves. Well, saves from what? Jesus was going to be the Savior of God's people. His name was given as an indication of his purpose for coming. And the prophet Isaiah tells us what they were to be saved of. In the passage that we read this morning, he says, "The people walking in darkness, the people that were living in the shadow of death." Very interesting. People understood the danger that they were in, and they needed a Savior. And they were crying out to God for that Savior. Not terribly unlike the way we may feel from time to time when we look at the circumstances around us, and it just seems like things are getting darker and darker and darker, and it's like, "Lord Jesus, we need a light." And we have one. We have one. You know, I think I shared an illustration some time ago, but it always impresses me. I have a younger sister who is a nurse in Broward County, Florida, Fort Lauderdale. And Broward General Hospital is where she works, and it's a huge hospital. And you have to come out of the hospital and walk down this long path to go into the parking garage. And there's a special place there for doctors and nurses. And so she said, told me this story, that a friend of hers had worked a late shift, and she got out of work and she started walking toward her car. She left the hospital area and she was walking down this walkway to go to the parking garage, and she heard footsteps. Now, this is after midnight, and she heard footsteps and she was terrified. She picked up the pace, and as she did, the steps picked up, got faster and faster. And she could hear that this whoever it was gaining on her, and she started to run, and the steps started to run, and she was terrified, and all of a sudden she felt a hand on her shoulder, and she turned around and looked, and it was her father. And he said, "I was calling you, but you didn't hear me." Can you imagine the relief that she felt when she turned around and there was her own father? She knew he would protect her. She was not in danger. And I feel like that's what Isaiah was talking about here in Isaiah chapter 9. Those people who walked in darkness and the shadow of death saw great light. And it was that tremendous relief that they felt because it was the Almighty God. They needed a champion and they found one. God promised that there would be a deliverer who would come earlier before Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah 7, verse 14, it says, a virgin will conceive and bring forth a child, and you will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Well, Isaiah goes on to give us a description of what this Messiah is going to be like. And we're very familiar with this, I'm sure, especially any of you that have ever sung the Messiah. You know, for unto us a child is born. And he calls the names. Unto us a son is given. And the names actually are titles of this Messiah. They're titles. And the interesting thing is that it's describing one person with two natures. Just like we know that Jesus is all God and Jesus is all man. It's not half and half. He's 100% God and 100% man. And this is what he says. For unto us a child is born. That's human. Unto us a son is given. That's divine. And then it says, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders. Very interesting in this day and age. The government will rest on his shoulders. That means that the control of what happens in this world is on him. We have so many little potentates today that are dictating who can do what and who is going to be locked up and who will be set free. They feel like they're just these little gods. They're not. There is one God. The government rests on his shoulders, on the shoulders of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. One person, two natures. He's not only our Savior, he's also our Lord. He is the Lord. So what are these titles that are given to him? Well, the first one, it says that he is the wonderful counselor. And there are many that believe that these two words should be separated. Wonderful, comma, counselor, comma. Either way, it means the same thing. Wonderful, incomprehensible, full of wonder. He's wonderful. He's the counselor. He's the one who leads us to truth, who helps us understand life as he intends for it to be lived. He's the counselor. When we have difficulties and struggles and problems, we go to him. Now, for whatever reason, in our society over years, we've confused counsel with opinion. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, not in a multitude of opinions. We have opinions all over the place. But when you seek counsel, you want somebody that's praying to the Lord, asking the Lord for wisdom. How should I instruct this individual? How should I help them? And every course on counseling will tell you the same thing. You put your opinions aside because everybody's situation is different. And what we want to do is to go back into our own personal experience and say, well, if I were you, this is what I would do. That's an opinion. I wish today that we had counselors that would help us with what we're supposed to do with things like COVID-19. Not opinions, but somebody that searched it out with wisdom, and they're giving you sound advice on what needs to be done. We have so many opinions. Opinions are worthless. Counsel is all important. Our Heavenly Father gave us a Messiah who is a wonderful counselor. He gives us the truth. He lays it on the line. It also says that he is wonderful counselor, almighty God. That's the Hebrew word El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the highest term that can be given to God, the high and lifted up one, the king of all the universe, of all of creation, the sovereign God. That's El Shaddai. He's omniscient, all-powerful, all-wise. It also says the everlasting Father. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the creator of everything. You know, Paul talked about this. This is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and it says this: "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." What a powerful statement. This is the everlasting Father. This is the El Shaddai, the mighty God. And then it also says this: the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. They realize that when we look at the Prince of Peace and consider him, that we all know and believe with all of our hearts is Jesus, all of these other titles also belong to him. Prince of Peace. And we know that that's double-edged. There's a peace with God, Romans chapter 5. There's also a peace of God that passes understanding. So, you know, what does this mean for us, really? I mean, we're entering into this Christmas season where we're going to remember our Savior and our Lord who was born to pay the price for our sin that we might have life. And what does that mean? Well, first of all, because he's the wonderful counselor, it means that we don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to walk in fear. Now, I really want to encourage you. There is this tremendous campaign going on right now to reinstall fear in the hearts of the people in America. And it's wrong. It's evil. I just want to ask you one question. If you're holding to this and you're watching CNN and you're hearing all this fear-mongering that's going on right now, I want to ask you just one question. What test are they using to determine Omicron from COVID-19? It's the same one. The same one that was used for every other variant that's come down. There's only one test, and that test is proven to be flawed. And yet they'll take that and they'll push it around. I looked at the news this morning and there are 6 more cases in California. How do they know? What are they using to test that? They're pushing fear. They would like nothing more than to lock down America, nobody celebrating Christmas, everybody living in fear of what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. God is on the throne. And the government is in his hands, and he will win the victory. Amen. He will not forsake his people. We worship an almighty God, an awesome God. We don't have to walk in fear. He's the wonderful counselor. Also, there's no more uncertainty about the future because he's the mighty God. He's almighty. Nothing is impossible with God. Also, he wants the best for his people. He was not willing that we stay in darkness, but he came with the light. There was the one true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. Nothing is impossible with him. I'll tell you something else. He's the everlasting Father. And just like that young woman that heard those footsteps behind her and turned around And there was her father. All of a sudden, she just fell into his arms. I wasn't there, but I'm sure that's what happened. With a sense of such relief. There's no more need to be afraid. There's no more need to be lonely. There's no more need to be in doubt about the future. We're placing ourselves and resting in an almighty God who loves us. And he's proven that love over and over and over again. He cares for his people. He tells us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You're mine. And there's no more anxiety. He's the Prince of Peace. You know, in Hebrew, the word is shalom. And shalom wasn't just the absence of conflict. It was the presence of complete rest. Nothing to fear. You know, when we go to be with the Lord in heaven, we're told that there'll be no more sickness, no more tears, no more death. Why? Because we're in his hands. Well, the moment that you receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you entered in to that peace, into that rest. Eternal life for you and for me began the day we surrendered our hearts to Jesus Christ, not the day we die. And I know with all my heart right now that I am in the palm of his hand, and so are you if you're trusting in him as your Lord. You don't have to be afraid. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm here. You know, when Israel would become worried or anxious, the prophets would speak on behalf of God. And he says, we're told by the prophets that he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps, that he's constantly taking vigil over his people. And for that reason, we have nothing to fear. This is the name that we worship. It's not just J-E-S-U-S. It's everything that stands behind it. The Almighty God. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, it says this, that after Jesus humbled himself and humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of a bondservant, it says that the Father lifted him up and gave him the name that was above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you know, sometimes it's almost pleasurable to think that there will come a time when some of these people that have been so ugly and so cruel are going to get on their knees and acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And I just can't wait for that day. Because it says every knee shall bow. They're not going to do it because they want to. They're going to do it because they have to. Love to see Nancy Pelosi crying out to God. And even our president thanking, praising God, not because he wants to. I'm sure it'll be through gritted teeth. But they will. They will. And all these little dictators and potentates, every one of them will fall. Because there's only one name that's above every other name, and that's the name of Jesus. This is what Isaiah was telling the people 600 years before the birth of Christ. This is what would happen. Now it's been 2,000 plus years since the birth of Christ, and we need to hear it again. This is the name. And all Christmas, we should be rejoicing that God cares that much, that he loves us that much. He's not willing to see us remain in darkness and in fear. He's the one. He is the wonderful counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, again, we are so grateful and thankful to you that you didn't leave us here in our darkness. Lord, darkness is so painful. It's so scary. And yet, Lord, you're by our side. You promised never to leave us or forsake us. And that you'll take us through what we're currently facing here in this country and through every other obstacle, you're going to see us through, and we know that. And we're grateful and thankful to you, and we rejoice that it was in your plan to come to earth and pay the price for our sin that we might know life. I thank you, Lord, and pray for your blessing on this hour. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 162. We'll sing the first two verses here, and then the third verse for our benediction response. Please stand and we'll sing these first two verses, number 162, Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.